Welcome to the Middle Church Podcast, a multicultural, multi-ethnic, intergenerational movement of spirit and justice, powered by revolutionary love with room for everyone. No matter where you are, how you look, or who you love, we pray this podcast will help you on your journey. Here's this week's sermon.
One of my favorite things about the Bible is the many layers in which one can find meaning. God is not only in the stories, but also in the spaces in between the stories, in the way the author chooses to tell the story and in the words that they use or the ones that they leave out. As a scholar of early Christian writing, I love to look at the context of these writings to see how God is breathing in these texts. Take a breath. Just prior to our passage for this morning, Jesus had ridden into Jerusalem on a borrowed donkey with the people shouting Hosanna and waving palm branches. He had just had his temple tantrum where he turned over tables and drove out the money changers. He had already begun to make the chief priests and the Pharisees uncomfortable with his parables. Jesus was constantly pointing out examples of those who are in the family of God, and the priests and Pharisees were upset with his radical inclusivity. And I get it. There are folks whom I am uncomfortable with as well. Maybe that's just me. Maybe y'all good with everybody. This unconditional love thing seems almost unreal. And so the Pharisees are constantly testing Jesus to see if it is indeed real. In this passage, we find one of those tests. When the lawyer asks which commandment in the law is the greatest, he is talking about Jewish law, which we have in our traditional New Testament, or Old Testament, excuse me. You see, there are 613 laws within those pages, and he wants to see if Jesus will pick one and hold it above the others. And this is a huge no-no in their tradition, as all of the laws are valued of equal importance, all 613 of them. 613 laws like, don't wear mixed fabric. So that polycotton blend shirt you have on. The elastic in your underpants. It's against the law. No shellfish. So shrimp cocktails got to go, and no more crab legs. No haircuts, no impaired vision, no football. The touching of dead pigskin is forbidden. And for that matter, no bacon, no cheeseburgers, no divorce. Slaves, obey your masters. I think you get my drift. But in this passage, Jesus is making a bigger point. Love is the recurring theme here. He doesn't pick one law above the other. He doesn't say follow some and don't follow others. He says, choose love. Choose love in your heart. Choose love in your soul. Choose love in your mind. This is the greatest commandment. Love is the law. And we, as good and faithful servants, have done just that. We took our canon and measured in love. So no, we aren't going to stone our children. That isn't faithful to the command of God. It's not faithful to the command of love. And even though the Bible says, slaves, obey your masters, even though there were those who used the Bible to say that black people were inferior to white people, we gathered here today, both in person and online, obviously do not believe that that is the gospel. So what have we done with these texts of hatred? Well, we have rejected them outright. We reject slaves, obey your masters. We reject slavery texts. Jesus came and clarified that all of those laws in the Old Testament should begin with a love ethic. On these two commandments, he says, hang all the law and the prophets. This is how the civil rights movement fought battles. They stood on the law of love, on God's unconditional love. And it was through approaching the movement in this way that they were able to succeed in changing Jim Crow laws. They took to heart Martin Luther King Jr.'s words and used light to drive out darkness and love to drive out hate. So as we move forward, where does this reading take us? Where does our heart of love take us? Where is God taking us? If God is in the business of liberation, in this new year, what is the next space that needs liberating? Well, Pentecost is one of my favorite miracles. Just refresher, it's the one where the tongues of fire come down and suddenly everyone can understand each other in their own native languages. And because of this, we generally think of Pentecost as the miracle of the tongues. But I say to you today that it is not the miracle of the tongue, it is the miracle of the ear. It is not that the words were said, but that they were heard. Because do you know how hard it is to get some of us to listen sometimes? As we continue on, God is still speaking, but are we still listening? Take a breath. Now, the second commandment is a doozy. In order to love your neighbor as yourself, you must first love yourself. Do you love yourself? Now, not just the easy parts. Do you love the parts that get it wrong more than get it right? The parts that can be irritable, the parts that can be clumsy, the parts that are lazy. God is there with you in that funk. God loves you even in your mess. The question is, do you? Or do you just love the parts that look good? How can you love anyone else if you don't love you? Take a breath. How can you love your neighbor? You cannot be perfect, and that's not your job anyway. That's God's job. And that's the amazing thing about grace. It fills in the gaps. Now, who is your neighbor? I can't help but think about people slain every day, both here and on the other side of the world, by governmental violence. I can't help but be worried about my family members and they about me in certain areas of the country because racism still wields its ugly head. I can't help but ache for those who are snatched from their families and the only homes they've ever known because we dare to judge human souls as illegal. I can't help but feel the anger of my LGBTQ friends who are having to refight battles that they've already won. Whether or not you have a serious knee-jerk reaction when it comes to minorities, we must recognize that we, all of us, are the oppressors of some of God's children. Our silence, our inaction, our tax dollars make us culpable. This social sin is deadly. White supremacy is deadly. Exceptionalism is deadly. Capitalism is deadly. This is our personal struggle, specifically in the church, because we are called to love. So take a breath. And envision how far we go with an ethic of love. From under the thumb of white supremacy, still we rise. It is our absolute duty to start from love. Nadia Boltz-Weber wrote in her book, Pastrix, "This desire to learn what the faith is from those who have lived it in the face of being told they are not welcome or worthy is far more than inclusion." Actually, inclusion isn't the right word at all because it sounds like in our niceness and virtue, we are allowing them to join us. Like we are judging another group of people to be worthy of inclusion in a tent that we don't own. It's God's tent. In this metaphor, the wideness of the tent points to the gracious nature of a loving and merciful God who welcomes all, who holds compassion, truth, light, and love. Let us be reflections of those divine elements. Let us wear them like the finest suit. Let them drip from our fingertips everywhere we touch. Our battles with racism, sexism, homophobia, classism, ageism, antisemitism, Islamophobia, etc., 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 are not over. But in the most frightening, most terrible moments of life, God is with us. Using Jesus' commandment that love be our starting point and examining white supremacy as insidiously ingrained in all of our systems, where are we supposed to go now? In this new year, where are we called as a church? If God is in the business of liberation, what is the next space that needs liberating? If Jesus stands on the side of the marginalized, if God is indeed, as Dr. James Cone called it, the God of the oppressed, who are the oppressed? I won't answer that, I know you know. And these are the moments where you close your eyes and take a breath and listen to what God says. Church, Christ represents disruption. Disruption is your model. Stand with Christ, stand with love. This is where our service should be focused. What are we going to do about those around us and how they are treated? God wants to use us now in those spaces. Those of us who know what oppression is, those of us who are still oppressed, those of us who have fought through oppression, we are God's hands and God's feet. Listen when God is speaking. And when in doubt, consider the prayer Jesus taught his disciples to pray when he taught them by saying, God, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. As it is in heaven. Take a breath. Make the world holy today by your actions. Can we do that together? You and I must make a pact. We must bring salvation back. Where there is love, I'll be there. I'll reach out my hand to you.
Thanks for listening, friends. To learn more about Middle Church, visit middlechurch.org. You can help grow this movement of love and justice by rating us on Apple or Spotify and by sharing this episode with a friend or two. Send us an email at info@middlechurch.org if you have any questions or comments. We hope you'll come back next week. Bye for now.